Rolene Marks, good morning to you with the Israel Report. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good, thanks, and you know, it's always interesting here in Israel around about this time, 3 weeks, and especially the 9 days, we have some very, very bizarre visitors to our shores in the form of some really large jellyfish. They come at this time, really? And they leave after the 9 days. It is absolutely fascinating.
That is really fascinating. Gosh, I don't even, where does one even go with something like that?
They must be Jewish jellyfish, Howard, because they're guilting you to stay off the beach.
Exactly.
Until you finish
Don't
morning.
You come here to have fun. You'll do that when this period is over. All right. Let's talk about maybe equally as strange events taking place in Israel or along or nearby. Bennett in Jordan.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating because, you know, the ties between the two countries have been strained for, I'd say, probably the last 2 years. And, you know, we had murmurings in the media that our defense minister, Benny Gantz, he was in Amman in February, having talks there. We heard that our foreign minister, Lapid, has signed a very, very big water agreement between Israel and Jordan, which will see an increase in the amount of water being traded, which of course is a very positive thing. But the important news breaking last night of a secret meeting last week between Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, on, and I quote you directly, opening a new chapter with the peace treaty, which we are all reading positive things into because we're seeing this momentum happening.
It's just phenomenal because to some extent there was a fear around Naftali Bennett being even more right than Netanyahu, and yet somehow he is making inroads.
Well, it is very interesting because if you look at some of the hardline supporters of Benjamin Netanyahu, the language they're using is, you know, Naftali Bennett's a sellout and, you know, he's betrayed the right, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, you know, it's very easy to say these things when you're talking about somebody who's the head of a party. It's very different when you look at somebody in their position now as the prime minister and as the leader of all Israelis from all streams of life, and most certainly a coalition which, you know, when we looked at it being put together, we thought this is the strangest thing that we've ever seen cobbled together, you know, with like chewing gum and duct tape. But as Ben-Gurion said, you know, when you live in Israel, you have to be a realist and believe in miracles. And so far, this coalition seems to be working. Of course, some issues coming up, as inevitably there would be, but it seems to be working. And it looks like Naftali Bennett is really stepping into his role as a statesman, being very, very considerate of the bigger picture and everything that's at stake. So this is really an important step. And I also have to wonder if King Abdullah is looking around the region and he's looking at the normalization treaties with the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, Sudan, looking at the fruits that they are bearing, especially when we look at the Emirates and Bahrain, and thinking, you know what, maybe I need to get on board with that because it improves the situation for everybody in the region. It's not just about great newspaper stories, or as some cynics would say, you know, your Hasbara efforts. This is about real lives in a very, very tumultuous region. And I think, you know, they're looking at it thinking, maybe we need to think of ways to work together rather than just clashing on so many occasions.
Incredible. Really, really just amazing to see. The other thing that that we looked at this week or was the end of the Rivlin era. Tell us about his legacy.
Well, I think he leaves an extraordinary legacy behind. You know, when President Rivlin took office some 7 or so years ago, there were a lot of concerns. You know, he was very, very hawkish as a politician, and he would be following in the much loved and respected Shimon Peres, who was very, very dovish, but who was also very focused on innovation, that kind of space, you know, how he would follow in those footsteps. And he leaves behind a legacy as somebody who has really been the grandfather of the nation. You know, he took the reins into an Israel that has been very, very divided, that has endured its fair share of hardships, pandemic notwithstanding, conflagrations with our neighbors, the uptick in violence when we saw that wave of terror. And yesterday, a beautiful letter in the Jewish National Syndicate, it's jns.org, President Rivlin's letter to President Herzog was published. And he speaks in there so tenderly and so beautifully about the many Israelis from all walks of life that he encountered and that he expects Herzog to encounter. He was also a president who had to deal with a lot of frustrations. I don't think any other Israeli president has ever had to deal with so many elections and dealing with the deadlock after deadlock after deadlock, which thank goodness now we seem to have pushed through. Also clashing on many occasions with his prime minister of the time, and it's going to be interesting to see how Herzog and Naftali Bennett work together. But a really, really moving ceremony in the Knesset on Wednesday, as we saw the outgoing president speak to a standing ovation, refer to his wife, Nechama, who he lost during his term and who we all mourned with him. He spoke about that. A very, very humble man. You know, he came in this great hawk, and he leaves the cuddly Saba of not just Israel, but is seen as the president of the Jews. And, you know, we were delighted to find out this week that the Shabak managed to come up with a disguise for him. I'm not so sure about the wig.
That wig really bothered me, I have to say. But for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, give us some context here.
The Shabak, which is our internal security force, they're kind of like the FBI. You know, the Mossad is the external, the Shin Bet or the Shabak is the internal. They procured a disguise for him. It's this very, very dodgy wig and beard. And he would put this on and quite happily mingle amongst Israel's civilians unseen. Although I can't believe, looking at that wig in retrospect, Howard, that got past us.
It was, yeah, just so bad. I think people just averted their eyes because it was just like watching something very uncomfortable. You kind of expected him to be in a bit of a trench coat, didn't you?
Well, exactly. but it gave us insight a little bit into his personality as well. As somebody who's, you know, not afraid to poke fun at himself, and we will miss our cuddly, lovable Saba of the nation, Ruvi Rivlin. But I think, you know, he can enjoy retirement now. Although, you know, men like this go on to find something else productive to do, just like Shimon Peres did. And it's going to be interesting to watch his steps. But also coming in, we have another man of great integrity who spoke to a standing ovation. Very, very moving scenes of a shofar being blown in the Knesset by two IDF officers as he took oath of office. And it kind of takes you back to like almost temple days, to biblical days. The heralding of a new great leader. And, you know, people think that the British do military pomp and circumstance very well. I have to say, I think we do as well, branches of our military, including mounted police, marching in their demonstration just before both Herzog, the Speaker of the House, Mickey Levy, and, of course, Ruvi Rivlin arrived to the Knesset on Wednesday, Herzog with his wife, Michal. And just a feeling of celebration in the air. And I have to say that Israel right now, you know, the COVID-19 notwithstanding, feels like a happier place to be. There's definitely an air of hope in the atmosphere. And for President Herzog, there's a lot of important work that needs to start now. He has to start to heal divisions between Israel and American Jewry. We know that Bennett and Lapid, one of their big priorities right now is a bipartisan offensive, is to regrow those ties between Israel and the Democratic Party, because it has been felt that the last maybe 5 or so years, perhaps more, maybe even going back into the Obama administration, that those ties were neglected, and that Israel could perhaps be paying a price for that. But also a lovely letter being sent to President Rivlin by former President Barack Obama, speaking about his time as president and his interactions with President Rivlin, and how he always found them to be productive and warm and focused on the mutual values of the two countries, right, which I found actually amazing. Quite telling.
What's fascinating to me is we've got a significantly left president and a significantly right prime minister. The president doesn't have a role in terms of formal politics, or maybe it's only formal politics, however you look at it. But he has to a great extent, toe the line as far as the government is concerned. How do you see this working between these two guys?
I think this is going to be very interesting to watch, but I think if we are looking at Israeli politics right now, the true power behind the prime minister sits with Yair Lapid. You know, he brought together this coalition.
Anyway. Mm.
And he's very centrist. And I think what we've seen coming from Naftali Bennett in the last month or so, as, you know, he assumes this role as prime minister of the country, is that where he needs to be very, very strong and tough, he is being strong and tough. You know, he, in a very conciliatory way, told the Americans who are taking offense to Israel's policy of raising the homes of terrorists, that they want that to stop. And Naftali Bennett said, you know, we respect you and you are our greatest ally, but and there are some things that we're going to disagree with, and one of them is this: you know, when it comes to our security, we're not going to compromise there. But he is more open to working with the Democratic Party than perhaps his predecessor was. And I think we're seeing two very interesting Naftali Bennetts emerge. There's Naftali Bennett, the leader of Yamina, and there's Naftali Bennett, the prime minister, who has to be a lot more considered in
which is
his
often
actions.
The case.
And I think we are seeing Naftali Bennett also realizing, and I know some of our listeners are not going to like to hear this, that perhaps this is a new opportunity for Israel's global image. Many look at Israel and see the legacy of Netanyahu as perhaps being, I won't say harmful, I think that's too strong a word, but maybe not being as positive as it could have been, not to detract from a lot of his achievements. We cannot detract from that. But He was looked at as somebody who was very populist, very uncompromising, and I think that Naftali Bennett is looking at this very, very carefully and thinking maybe this is an opportunity also to course correct. And yeah, we're certainly seeing that with the Democratic Party.